Geek On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information on the news and links to the topics that we discuss in the show, go to our website at geeksong.com.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome, our geeklings.
Welcome to Geeks On.
Bad touch. Bad touch.
I really don't think he could have done someone without taking the mask off.
No.
He'd die.
No, he actually... Well, in Empire, he actually did
all
remove
right,
the mask.
All right, anyway, moving on.
Okay.
Come on, he did it. Well,
welcome back.
Welcome back.
We missed you.
This is Geeks On. My name is Aaron Hendricks.
Actually, we have no idea if anyone's actually listening to this, but we missed the concept that you might actually be listening
to.
We
do miss that concept.
Yes.
Okay.
Peter is right.
For those of you who are listening, we've got 500 or 600 people now.
I thought you were going to say 5 or 6.
We have 5 or 6.
Definitely 5 or 6 people.
And we
there.
Value each and every one of you.
Well, to keep track of us geeks, my name's Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a... What am I?
Filmmaker.
Filmmaker.
Yeah, that's the one you always say.
Los Angeles.
Excellent.
My name is Peter Robinson. I'm a writer in Los Angeles.
Matt King, actor geek here in Los Angeles.
And I am Donald Marshall, video game professional, writer, and actor.
Multi-talented.
Yes.
And a sumo wrestler.
I'm the Renaissance geek and a sumo wrestler.
And he was on Whammy.
Yes, I won on Whammy.
He won on Whammy.
I got no whammies.
How was everybody's geek week?
I was an adult this week.
Me too. Kind of sucks.
Nah, I don't.
Well, as much as an adult as I can be at my job.
Matt is moving.
Yeah.
So some of this week was spent painting his house.
Yeah.
Ripping up tile.
Yeah.
E3 is knocked the geek out of me this week.
See, that's weird to me because, like, E3 is all that is uber geek. And
yeah. It's just when it becomes work.
No, I understand you. I understand. I'm in the same boat. When you work on the same project for weeks on end.
Right. What are you working on now?
The
can
joy
you say?
Goes away. I can't say.
Oh, okay.
But,
top secret.
It's going to beat the crap out of The Sims.
You're working on Top Secret?
Shut
the
up.
The TSR game turned a video game?
Beat you like a baby seal.
No.
Are you a rejoinder to the baby seal comment?
We're all stunned with shame.
Greenpeace
is about to storm the house and beat the crap out of us.
All right, let's start some
geek news.
Geek news.
Geek news.
All right, so George Lucas plans a Star Wars spin-off series for TV. And I don't mean they already have the Clone Wars. They're going to continue that.
Peter,
Wait. So this means I actually still have a chance of getting in the first 3 movies of episodes 4, 5, and 6.
You have a chance of getting in between episodes 3 and 4. The TV series is going to be live action.
Ooh, what?
And it's going to take... It's a live action TV series.
Oh, it's supposed to be animated.
It's supposed to be animated.
Not live TV show.
No, okay. Live action. And it's going to take place between episodes 3 and 4. And for the most part, it's not going to use any of the characters from the...
Wait. Pete. Okay, so, here's what I'm saying. Is that Hayden Christensen was not in episodes 4, 5, or 6, correct?
No,
he was not in Return
now.
Of the... Now he's in Return of the Jedi.
God help us all.
Because he was comped in, right?
So you need to get into
the
family.
I need to get on this show. If I can get on this show, then there's a chance that George Lucas, when he does another edit, which is inevitable, of episodes 1
right.
through 6, I could get in.
And I know exactly when they're going to do that because you heard about the technology that they're looking into to make all the films 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to do
and
that.
He wants to turn all the Star Wars movies so it's three-dimensional.
Okay, guys. I'm on. I'm going. This is my goal. This is my mini
goal.
So
write into geekson.com and we'll start a petition to get Matt. So when you end up there, you're going to have so much makeup on, you could actually be anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to freaking...
Yeah. Is that Matt or is it CGI?
Yeah.
Only Hewlett-Packard does.
I'm really curious about that.
What's the name of the show?
I didn't say.
Star Wars Christmas Special Part 2.
That was hilarious.
I would pay money to see Ewok singing again.
Did you see
Star
Wars?
No, I have never seen this.
What?
Really?
I have it downloaded.
It's
I know,
a little
you keep telling
Wookie,
me, but we never see it.
It's a little Wookie and, like, Mama Wookie vacuuming.
Well,
and
I heard that the crowning achievement in that piece for me, I heard that Bea Arthur is in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Art Carney's in it.
You need to do a spin-off with all the Golden Girls.
Art Carney
and
Prime Minister.
Jefferson Starship, I think.
Does Bea Arthur play a Wookiee?
No. I think she's like...
She probably should.
Yeah.
That
she's like
great.
Paul Patine's
and,
nemesis.
Harvey,
I don't know.
Carvey Corman's in it. He plays like Martha Stewart.
Corman?
He plays like a Martha Stewart character.
Oh.
But you know what? Boba Fett was the first scene there.
So something came out of it that was cool.
In a cartoon.
In a cartoon.
All right. What's the next news story?
All right. I'm going. All right. They call him Nostradamus.
Nostradamus.
Nostradamus. This is a guy who I read about. White Sands, North.
Why did
New
you
Mexico.
Read about him?
I know. He's the guy who, whenever people are going on a NASA mission, any NASA, he's been doing it for 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
He sniffs the stuff that the astronauts bring up on the space shuttle to discover whether or not, within a confined space, that item, mascara, deodorant, whatever, is going to make anyone nauseous.
Well, how does he attune himself to the people who are on board?
I don't know.
Because if you put a big bowl of spaghetti in front of me, I feel nauseous.
Yeah. I think it's maybe.
Can they shower in space?
Yeah. There's actually a really great book called How Do You Go to the Bathroom in Space that talks about everything.
Well, I know about that. You basically hook up a vacuum cleaner to your privates.
But... Yeah, which I've done.
I think it's like a zipper bag where you
Gain
climb
three
in,
inches,
you zip up.
Just like the email said.
You zip up and you shower in a bag.
Yeah.
And then it sucks all the water out.
Yeah, check this out.
Okay. Sonic showers.
Aldrich isn't, this guy's name is George Aldrich. Worked for NASA for 30 years. Aldrich is a natural. He has never failed NASA's calibration test, in which he must identify the 7 primary odors: musky, minty, floral, ethereal, camphoraceous, pungent, and putrid.
I think I could hit most of those.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to be Nostradamus or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
but
well,
no, you could probably figure that out. But at what intensity? I mean, maybe this guy can, you know, just smell something at a really low intensity and tell
He's
exactly.
also served as a judge in the Odor Eater's Rotten Sneaker Contest.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
Yeah, this is the guy who, when you go, is this bad? Smell this.
Yeah.
This is the guy you want. This is the guy you want.
I'm an 18th level sniffer. I get 1d4 hit points at every level.
Yeah, he's the one who kept Sally Ride's mascara off of her first space shuttle mission because it would have made the other... astronauts nauseous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yes.
His name is Nostradamus.
Nostril.
Oh, right.
Nostradamus.
Got it.
Just, wow. I mean, I can't follow that. Taking a page out of Aaron's handbook, I will be reporting on a rumor this week.
Yes.
It's a news story that has not yet been confirmed. Confirmed.
It's conforming.
Conforming. Okay. In some European country, which I failed to write down, Norway. There we go. It's been reported in a local newspaper that Edvard Munch's masterpiece, The Scream, has been destroyed. It's spelled Munch.
Okay.
So I'm pronouncing
it's
Munch.
Munch is how you say it.
Not as it comes out of my mouth. It is Munch.
Okay. Munch. The Munch masterpiece. Okay.
He likes looking at Munch while listening to a lot of Wagner.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
While wearing my Versace.
Yeah. All right. So Munch.
Okay. So yes. How has it been destroyed?
Two of his pieces, The Scream and The Madonna,
wow,
apparently have been incinerated, according to newspaper Dagbladet. You pronounce that.
Which Scream? Because The Scream
is... The Scream.
The Scream.
Yeah, well, that's a series. He did 10 Screams, and one was stolen.
Actually, he did 4.
He did 4?
Yeah, one of the 4 has been...
Okay.
No. The rumor is that one of the 4 has been destroyed.
But it's one of the main ones that everyone thinks of, right? It's the one that's on T-shirts, and that's the one that got destroyed.
It's the one that they turned into the little... the beat-up Weeble Wobble thing. Have you seen that?
That ain't good.
No, it's not good at all.
So what? Okay. However, this is still at the state of being a rumor. It was reported yesterday in a newspaper. However, authorities have no information on it. So it has not yet been confirmed or disproved.
I didn't know it was stolen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, there was one of the other four was stolen, not the original, not the one that was famous one.
One of the copies was stolen in 1996. According to
but recently
report?
In the last
by
year
Professor
or
Moriarty.
No, that one I know was one. It was not the big famous one. That one was not.
But for those of you like me who have very little information or knowledge of the art world, but you know The Scream because we're angsty generation Exeters for the most part.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes open.
I'm angsty.
Oh yeah, you angsty.
Well, Don's angsty.
I'm very angsty.
Okay.
It's what I do.
Aaron.
Well, it seems that we're having a little bit of car trouble on Mars. Opportunity, the Mars rover, is stuck in sand.
Oh. That's easy. You just put boards underneath it.
And you rock it. You keep rocking.
Yeah. And that's... They didn't put boards on the...
No, it's front-wheel drive.
Right. Oh. I don't know how many drives it has. I think it's actually six-wheel drive, but the problem is...
I did this with an Isuzu Stylus on Nantucket.
This poor little car has been on an extended mission. I kind of get the impression that the majority of the mission is over, and because it's still working, they're in a stage of the experiment where it's just extra data.
Right, yeah.
So what they're doing is they keep going further and further and finding cooler things, and the things just keep... It's still trucking.
Right. Till now.
Well, it seems it might be... really stuck. They've got some other ways that they're going to try to get this thing out. I don't know if it's rocking it or boards or what. AAA. I mean, AAA. You know. Did they buy it? It's like $30 a year. Come on,
Nash,
people. Yes.
Oh, bad. Oh.
Carry that with you for the rest of the week.
Oh. Let's just end that article with that bad joke.
Where do you come up with this? So I saw something. This is originally from a German website.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happened here is, and someone translated it in English, and I just thought this was kind of a funny story. What happened here is a guy who goes by the name of Bitch Checker as his sort of internet tag.
Wait, it's German.
Oh, I thought this was his Christian name, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, who knows? Make up a Christian name for him. You know?
His actual name is
so
Bob.
So Bitch Checker. He's okay. German, though, right?
German dude. He went, you know, whatever the translation for Bitch Checker is in German. He's on a website, and he gets kicked off for something to do with his ping. And he comes back on. He thinks that the guy running the website has kicked him. And he starts telling the guy, dude, I am going to F you up. I'm going to get you. I have a program on my computer, and you are in trouble. I'm going to use it on you. Tell me what your IP address is.
What?
That's threatening.
I know. He's like, tell me your IP address. I'm going to run this program on you. So the guy tells him, sure, my IP address. Let me go look it up really fast. Oh, it's 127.0.0.1. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's the IP address for the computer you're on. On anything.
Yeah.
So the guy starts trying to run this program. It takes him three times. He finally gets to work, and he's sitting here typing in, oh, dude, you're so screwed. Man, your G drive, it's gone. Man, your F drive, it's gone. He's counting down, and they're just sitting here. He doesn't realize that the drives he's saying are gone are his own drives.
Wow.
Until finally he just disappears. Never to be seen from again. I just thought that was a really funny
story.
Is
literally, that is the origin, I think, of the Computer Darwin Awards.
Yeah.
There you go.
People who naturally take themselves out of the internet.
That's a smart hacker, the one who
Yeah, he was like,
can't figure that out.
Yes, Biffy, come on, here. Let me look it up.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. Okay, so an MP3 player, Herbal Remedies, led to an emergency landing at O'Hare.
Three things I have no idea about.
Exactly. Thank you, Johnny Carson. Basically, plane went up. Somebody looks at the guy next to him, and they go, he's got a metal box, and he's got three tubes with liquid. And they freaked out and told the stewardess, and at 35,000 feet, they went into a circle and then went right back to Chicago O'Hare. And it turns out that it was wires to the guy's ears because he was listening to his MP3 player. And he had
GeeksOn.com, actually.
GeeksOn. And he had homeopathic medicines.
Listen to GeeksOn.
Absolutely nothing.
I was on a train once where the guy in front of me had this big briefcase, and he flipped it open briefly, and I was staring. I was looking between the cracks of the seats in front of me so I could see.
And he had a gun.
He opened it up, and they had the padded form.
Oh, the foam thing.
Foam thing. Yeah. And in there were these vials of weird liquid stuffed in there, and it freaked me out. That was like 8 years ago.
And when he came around the other side, it was Bruce Willis from 12 Monkeys.
And Brad Pitt was attacking him, right?
Yes.
Wow.
He's so hot.
Moving on. There's trouble in Salem. A new witch hunt of a very different type.
Oh.
Apparently TV Land is donating a new landmark there, where they'll be erecting a rather large statue of Samantha from Bewitched. In honor of, you know, the witchy TV show.
Oh, God. In honor of the movie.
Yeah, seriously. Interesting how that comes out at the same time, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I just find it kind of a spit in the eye of all those women who were burned at the stake, but that's just me, you know?
Oh, God. More weight.
You know what that is, don't you, Don?
The theme song to Bewitched?
No, more weight.
Yeah.
Do you remember that from the guys getting the stones put on them? That scared the crap out of me when I was a kid I went to Salem.
Ugh.
Freaked me out.
I don't know. I went to Salem.
Oh,
I don't remember
guy,
more weight.
There's a guy, basically, go ahead.
This guy being pressed to death, which is they put a board on you and they start to add all of...
Stoning...
Stoning is throw rocks at you.
There's several ways of stoning, one of which is piling stones on
one of his mushrooms.
Well, anyway, they were trying to get him to confess whether or not he was a witch, and they said, do you have anything to say? He said, yes, more weight.
Mm-hmm. And so he just added, you know,
they
every time...
And killed him.
Yeah.
That's so hot.
Yeah.
Does that
That's
turn you
Brad
on?
Pitt hot.
Huh? That's weird.
Yeah.
I don't remember that story. I've been there, and I guess I missed that museum, that 100...
It's the main museum.
Well, I have some news.
Okay.
This is in the
Is this a rumor?
Wacky world of video games.
Okay.
Skydivers play Nintendo DS while free falling.
I saw this.
These guys actually took their wireless DS. Several of them, I don't think it was like four of them, jumped out of a plane and wirelessly linked to each other and played each other while they fell.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Did they finish a game?
No.
It was a rush. You're not allowed to deploy until someone wins.
Yeah.
These guys are idiots. I mean, there's nothing more to say.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's...
How do you
I actually have a news story that's just like that, purely because I wanted to say the title, but that's it.
The next experience involved playing the new handheld atop of Mount Everest.
Did they fly up Mount Everest, or did they climb?
They're not getting near Mount Everest. I mean, they're idiots.
Okay.
Moving on.
All right, so this is my title, which is actually... I just really want to say the title. Zoo reverses vasectomy in bush dog.
Bush dog?
That's all I really wanted to say. It's exactly what it is.
Perhaps it's best just to leave it at that.
Is that a zoo reverses a vasectomy in
Absolutely.
A bush dog. And it's...
Now, it was because the bush dog had like gotten remarried and
no,
he was being
actually,
pressured?
No, actually, it was a baby bush dog, and they gave it to him and then took it away and gave it to him and took it away. What they're saying is that because what this will allow animals to do is socialize... Meaning, we let them hump each other because we're not worried about population anymore, and if we want to have some kids, we can give it back to them.
Right.
So we can not have to put Johnny in a cage every month and a half.
Well, that's cool. I mean, let them, you know, bang around, and then so that we don't have, like...
I disagree. See, what I think is the reason why... You remember when they were having all that problem with pandas in the Washington Zoo, and they were like, we cannot get a kid... We don't know what is attractive to pandas.
Absolutely not.
I'm telling you, Sing Sing thinks Ling Ling is hideous.
I know, but let them work it out. But instead of
what you're doing
is...
Sing Sing's looking for a little Ming Ming, if you know what I
mean. Yeah, exactly. Well, okay.
No, but putting him in separate cages and not allowing them to work it out is just mean.
Right.
Put him in the same cage. If they want to do it, they can do it.
They're effectively... I mean, but yeah, it's like Marianne and Thurston Howell on, you know, alone on Gilligan's Island, and that's it. It's like, go ahead. And they're like, why? I don't want to. Go ahead. Anyway.
Okay, moving on.
I have one. We'll have to link to the website here because I've forgotten what the actual email address is. But there is a blog spot that is a Darth... There's a blog spot that is a Darth Vader blog.
Okay? Oh, dear.
Vader and blogging?
Yeah,
as if it's
Vader.
Called... Yes, as if Vader's Vader. Writing his own blog.
Of course.
Vader's
it's called POV.
Yeah, it's called The Darth Side, Memoirs of a Monster. and it's done by a guy named, it's a Canadian dude.
It's done by Darth Vader, man.
Who's Darth Vader? But no, Matthew Frederick Davis Hemming. And it's very, very, very funny, you know.
Is it funny? So is it a spoof?
It's a spoof.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm going to let Matt read one of them.
What? Why? Because I'm so...
Because you're the actor.
Oh.
Dear so House of Oswald, I regret to inform you that your son has been killed in the line of duty. He was an incompetent, yammering boob, and he will be missed by none. I have allowed the men to pillage his personal belongings, which is why we have enclosed nothing but the sole remaining item, a torn advertisement played from a magazine of midget pornography. May it shock and disturb you, and may you think of it always when you remember your dearly departed son, the Ninny. Know also that his limitations as a subpar military professional caused the deaths of many of the Emperor's loyal soldiers, whose funeral expenses will appear on your next tax assessment. Sincerely, D. Vader.
What's up, D?
What's up, D?
It's cute.
How's it going?
I like it. Like the cape.
That is a weird... That's a weird...
That's crazy, man. I mean, well, at what point do you just decide that that's what you want to do?
Probably the same point when we decided we were going to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glass houses, Mr. Matt. Glass houses.
Oh, okay. So last thing. There is this new craze in Japan with crazy dressing up like crazy people in Japan.
Like straitjackets crazy people?
They're one step off.
Like retro 60s sci-fi.
It's the Ganjuro craze in Japan. Ganjuro is a huge trend in urban Japan. Girls and a few guys coat themselves in skin bronzer, apply huge amounts of eye makeup, bleach their hair, and cover themselves in bracelets and bright colors as an attempt to emulate the look of California girls, both girls and guys. In reality, it looks less like Venice Beach and more like one of the layers of Dante's Inferno. But, yeah, I'll put the link up and you guys see. This is crazy. It's like those crazy Japanese.
I'm intrigued.
It's right up there with jamming fingers up to people's butts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that game.
I still want to play that video game, damn it.
I so do.
All right,
I got to level 15.
That's the Pope. All right, my last story actually ties back into our very first episode.
Ooh.
I have a follow-up to the very first news story I ever shared at Geeks On. Which is, do you remember, once upon a time, I brought a story here about Warner Brothers revamping Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. Right. With the crazy, angular, lethal, angular...
Yeah, angular, Power Ranger-looking, enormous fists and angles.
Lunatics, right?
And though there was some disagreement among the geeks, by and large, most of us did not approve of the change.
Lame!
And apparently we have influenced a young boy who went out and changed the world... And basically convinced by this petition started by a 10-year-old child who thought the new characters were scary, Lunatics has either been scrapped or has been started to be revamped.
Oh, God.
So we
this
don't have to look at the...
reactionary
Yeah. Piece. We don't want to get sued. We don't want to get sued.
Well, I don't think
we need to hold a meeting. A 10-year-old wrote us, said he's scared. Quick, to the boardroom.
Apparently he sent in a big old petition here.
Oh.
You know?
See,
oh,
I have a problem. This is getting ridiculous.
Signed a petition saying that Donald Duck is a little too scary. Please sign on a dotted line.
Maybe that's not what they did. Maybe they just looked at it and realized what an idiot idea it was. Because it was a bad idea.
According to this, by late March, more than 25,000 people from around the world had signed his petition.
Because it's
like
scary.
That's hard.
Well,
that's a lot
we
of
got
people.
Maybe not because it's scary.
To this
no.
show.
See, the problem with that I have with that...
Excellent point.
Yeah, true.
Your point has been taken.
Aaron, back slowly away from the microphone, Aaron.
Signatures, like, right now. Everybody write in geeksone.com.
Oh, see,
challenge.
Now everybody's not going to do it specifically because you asked.
All right, I want you to collect... We'll go much smaller than 25,000.
No.
I want you to collect, say, 1,000...
1,000 signatures.
1,000 signatures.
Saying that Aaron is cool.
No. We should do something.
We get 1,000 signatures saying that Aaron's sister is hot.
Yeah.
Because we got like 18 million viewer mails on that one.
Oh, I love that. Okay, 1,000 signatures asking that Aaron's sister appear on our show.
Okay.
That's so, wait. So if you go to our forms section, I'll put up a...
A petition.
A link where you can sign your name.
To get Christina Hinman to be on the show.
Christina Hendricks on the show.
Hyde Hendricks, sorry.
Hinman.
I don't know what the fuck. My girlfriend's last name, sorry.
I was going to say that.
I wonder what
she's going to
think of that.
Exactly. Yeah. What's that?
Well, I was going to say the petition should say we get picked up by Clear Channel, but fine. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Her sister's name is Christina.
Clear Channel can go and F themselves. The reason why we're doing this show is to stick at the Clear Channel.
Yeah, I know, but I'd really like a couple $1,000,000 to do this. That'd be nice.
Somebody else? We can make a couple $1,000,000 without effing Clear Channel. You can hear me. You can hear me out there, Clear Channel.
Oh, he's bringing it, Clear Channel.
Oh, it's already been brought.
They've dispatched
Clear
passions.
Channel, you've been served.
So right, next week, Lunatics has been served. Moving on.
Moving on.
So next week when we are not on the air,
yeah.
Clear Channel,
yeah.
Lawyers.
You're just going to be...
All right. I'm sorry. I would like to bring it back down to the real world and just talk about the Macintosh for the five of you, the five out of the 500 that are...
Tiger.
A new
Tom, wake up.
Tiger is out. Tiger is out.
Okay, Dawn, somebody wake up. Beat Dawn.
Tiger is out. There's some awesome, awesome features on it, but there is a review of a guy who extensively, I mean, there must be, it's like a 15-page review. The guy really knows what he's talking about. He breaks down serious stuff on this.
This is the new Mac? What is it? The new Mac what?
OS.
Ah.
Mac OS. It's called Tiger. It's got great features like Spotlight, which is a search feature on there that searches, like if you want to do a search on your computer, it searches every file, everything in the files, all your email. So if you don't know where something is, if like you just type in Geeks On, it will show you every file that's tagged with Geeks On, every email with Geeks On, every program that's related to Geeks On. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And you can Boolean logic where you can add and subtract. So you can say... Geeks On, but have it only be movie files.
Geeks on minus...
It then forwards the information to the nice people at Apple.
Yeah, exactly.
The widgets, which are all these little mini programs that live running behind you, so you can get your...
Wait a second. The widgets are little mini programs that live behind
Yeah, that live... Well, if you kind of...
Oh, like we're the widgets. They represent the widget deal. The widget deal.
That's the new...
The
it's going to be like... Represent. It's going to be the new thing on Fox Kids.
The widgets.
The widget.
Meet the widget.
One more time.
All right, come on.
Safari's been updated. Automator, where you can set up pretty complex scripting programs, and it's very easy to do it. So you can just do one click, and it will set up a link of programs and just get something done that you're constantly... It's pretty amazing.
For example, if you have like 200 pictures and you need to rename them, you can just tell it what to rename... What to rename them and how to rename them, and it'll do all of them for you.
Including, you get to tell it to resize it.
Everything.
Sorts of great.
Don and I are the PC users. Yeah. We have these bemused expressions on our faces.
It's also got a lot of enhanced security features.
Why would you want that? Anyway, you guys should check out, go to Apple, just check out the features, but I'll put a link to this review because the guy goes through and he's very critical. The guy is pretty good. He seems very skeptical at first, but you know, you really have to read it. So.
Okay. Actually, one of the brilliant things about the widgets...
Aren't they an Australian group of children's performers or something?
Yes, they are. No.
We love you too, Peter.
We love you right back, Matt. Miso love you, Matt.
Oh, no.
They speak just like Georgia.
I think you're going to talk as a widget the rest of the episode.
No.
I love the widget.
Oh, boy.
Okay. What's the word of widget?
Well, one of the brilliant things is that it's designed so that people can create their own programs very easily.
Oh, wow.
So it's really encouraging invention and freeware and shareware, you know, on the Mac.
Oh, did you see those new guys? I saw them on Daily News Show. They're talking about they're the guys who designed the hand movements for Minority Report, how he did the computer. And they actually came up with gloves now that can do everything that he was doing. With visual software.
Somebody designed the hand.
Stop it. Cease and desist widgetness.
I am actually stuck right now.
See, that is, you know...
We've all inhaled helium.
The problem is that, you know, I don't want to get tennis elbow because I'm, you know, working on my computer.
It looks cool, but I imagine it would be incredibly non-functional.
You're sitting there, and, I mean, can you imagine a whole office... Their hands flying around and coffee.
You know what
flying.
It reminds me of? I saw, Babylon 5 Geek right here. Hi. The latest Babylon 5 movie had a new virtual reality interface for their defense systems where this woman had to climb into this virtual reality room where there was null G, so she's floating in space and she becomes the ship. So when she wants the ship to fire at something, she has to, like, shoot her hands out and make karate chop motions at the ships, or shoot her legs out. And all I could think was, like, this does not seem like a good way to manage your defense system.
Meanwhile, you know? The aliens are facing her are just hitting one button over and over
again.
I know,
for God's sake.
What was the gesture for docking sequence?
I think they cut away for commercial.
Exactly.
Mm. All righty.
Inappropriate comments make the widgets cry.
And on that note.
All right, kids. For our first segment, we're going to be discussing TV shows and movies of the past that need to be remade.
Okay, wait. Can we do, Don, can we do cartoons?
I would say that's a TV show. I would say yes.
Does that count?
Could be redone.
Okay.
Fine by me.
And so basically with the successful remakes of Star Wars, Star Trek, excuse me, I always get this confused.
Jeez. Did you just say the successful?
I did that one other time. I mean, seriously.
I've always done that. Ever since I was a kid, Star Wars, Star Trek, it's kind of random, you know?
One they're fighting, one they're trekking. I mean, come on, you know?
Well, between that and Battlestar Galactica, we've seen some serious remakes that have really had a serious impact, right?
Star Trekking across the universe.
Are we going forward? Because we can't find reverse.
Anyway, so what shows do you think need to be remade? What?
And this would be movies and television shows.
Movies and TV shows.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. Can I just start with one that I think always can be remade?
Okay.
Sure.
I have a feeling it will never be as good as the original, but I think if you just got good writers, to me, the Twilight Zone can fit into every decade.
Well, don't they do Outer Limits? And Outer Limits is sort of the same thing.
Well, I don't think the Outer Limits is on anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I keep on seeing them. I don't know whether or not it's just like in syndication.
Well, basically, I think what was the first Twilight Zones were in the 60s.
Yeah.
The next batch were in the 80s.
Yep.
So it's another 20 years later. We're kind of due for another one.
I think Rod Serling was really added so much to the original, and him being a great writer, but also being able to find great writers.
He had a poetry to what he was doing, and he actually, I mean, that was sort of the era of the difficult sci-fi questions, you know, which asked morality and stuff like that within the concept of sci-fi.
But they did that every once in a while in the 80s one. They just needed some better writers. But this is a great format for those mini little questions, and that most television shows just refuse to work into their scripts. And the Twilight Zone demands that.
I always thought the 80s was sort of the introduction of the horror element into all of the
Twilight Zone. The 80s was a revival of the Twilight Zone. We saw monsters. We saw amazing stories.
Right.
We saw
Tales from the Dark Side,
We saw Tales from the Crypt.
That used to
Tales from the
scare
Dark Side.
Me.
Right.
And then in the 90s, it all went away.
Mm-hmm. You know,
along with stand-up comedy.
If there was a time that you could do these type of issues, I mean, right now, the way the world is, you could do some serious issues in a sci-fi
some
type of show.
Great. Yeah. Twilight Zone.
It's a really good time to do something like that.
I agree.
It's such an intense time.
Who's got the right?
Was that the right answer?
Yeah, that was good. That was good, Aaron. Aaron, we give you a 5 out of 5 stars.
Aaron, you did a good job.
Good, thank you, Aaron.
All right, so that's my first one.
Okay. Okay, I'll do mine. Matt. Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I just think that Wonder Woman has been... I know you don't like it, Peter. I know you don't... But that's why I think it can be remade, because...
Hot chicken, like, no
hot
clothes?
Hot chicken, nothing.
Yeah, with that little bondage theme with the golden lasso, you know?
Cool superhero. We could actually, you know, do it now where, you know, she's looking good and doing well and got some good storylines. I mean, we've actually started to finally hit a superhero stride.
I have two things to say.
Okay.
But wait, before...
It has to be done
Nazi era. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Okay, number one, lamest superpowers ever. Okay?
She's super strong.
If she can move fast enough to block bullets with her, like, little bracelet, just get out of the way of the bullets. You know?
I don't think she's supposed to be strong enough to fast enough to block them.
Yes, she blocks bullets.
She's supposed to be intelligent enough to see where they're going to be shooting.
Oh, give me a break. Number two. Come on. Number two, costume. I mean, you can't... Look, Batman, you can make that costume look good.
Yeah, okay. Have you seen the original Batman costume?
My
Way
point
back
being,
in it, it was lame.
My point being, that they're able to make that good.
They updated it.
Come on. In the 70s TV show, they had the Wonder wetsuit. They had the Wonder formal wear. They had, that was fun. I liked it.
Listen, the wetsuit.
All I got to say is...
Everyone loves the Wonder wetsuit.
I don't think it's possible to update that outfit.
Peter, she's still fighting for your rights in a pair of tights.
You give me a pair of scissors and some thread, I'll knock that shit out. She'll look hot.
She's going to make Electra look like slabby and nasty.
All right, I tell you what. Okay, next time when we come in, you make a costume, put it on Maureen, and we'll judge. Oh, you got 1 week.
Oh, I have to get 1,000 signatures and make a costume? I don't think so.
Yeah, Gauntlet has been thrown down.
1,000 signatures on the costume.
No, there we go.
All right, Peter, what's your show then?
My show? Okay. I have Red Dwarf TV show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not bad.
Yeah, I've never seen The Black Adder, but I've heard...
That doesn't need to be remade.
Yeah, I don't think people need to touch Red Dwarf either, because I liked them both so much the first time.
Well, you see, but the thing is that... You know, who's going to see it these days?
True, true.
So, I mean, I just thought it was brilliant...
That's like saying you need to make classic black and white films because people refuse to watch black and white.
Well, yeah, Charlie Chan needs to be remade.
Let's remake the Maltese Falcon because people don't like to watch, you know, black and white movies.
I mean, well, you know. I mean, yeah.
Hey, it worked so well for Psycho.
You're making a point. But the thing is, it's easier to get a hold of movies than it is to get a hold of TV. Like, you can go to, you know, anyway.
That's true.
True.
I'd love to see V.
Oh, yeah, V would be good. Good choice.
The concept of the invading aliens that are constantly here and having the rebels is great.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that show was pretty horrible. When you look back, it's pretty horrible. But that always made me feel really scared when watching that show.
Yeah, that
the
along
Nazi
with
themes were
were fantastic.
Yeah,
but that along with what was the show with the weird mottled head aliens who were here all the time? They came and they were slaves to a master race.
Alien Nation.
Alien Nation. That was a great one. That was actually done badly as a series, I think.
Actually, I quite liked the series.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. I found there was good writing.
Okay.
I found there is usually passable performances at best, you know, but rarely
bad. I loved it when What's-His-Face got pregnant.
Yeah.
And they had the episode of, like, what a true man was, because his partner's, like, the human, was like, well, Rambo is a man because he sews up his arm when he gets shot. Being pregnant isn't manly. And he says, well, yeah, it is. In my race, it's pretty manly.
Yeah, it's the essence of manly.
Yeah, interesting. It was a great episode.
I like that.
Yeah.
Dune. Okay.
Dune.
If Dune was done properly...
Dune was just remade, though.
Leave Dune alone. It's time out. Done.
Time out. Okay.
Peter's calling a time, Aaron.
Time out, Aaron.
Give me a corner. Pause the corner.
Yeah, pause the show. Pause the show. Okay, we're back. no. Okay, look. The original movie, affection as I have for it, it's got some problems, some pretty serious problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Put your hand in the box.
Now, the remake, the TV show that they just did, I mean, I tried to watch it. I had to turn it off. It was done really well.
I like the remake.
Well,
I would love a combination of the original movie and the remake, because I thought the remake really had certain je ne sais quoi.
I'm just saying that...
Suck versus suck.
I have this sense that they could do a Dune trilogy type thing that would be amazing if they did it right.
Well, Children of Dune or God Emperor of Dune?
The miniseries was a trilogy.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, but so Dune... Wizard of Oz?
No.
Wizard of Oz, not that as a musical.
Hello, The Wizard of Id, or whatever that, or The Wiz.
That's a musical.
It's a remake. Oh, you mean the exact duplicate?
Isn't really a remake.
No, actually,
it's a different show.
It'd be neat to do the books, to do the Patchwork Girl of Oz and TikTok of Oz and stuff like that.
A remake of The Wiz, actually, that'd be cool.
I mean, it's 10 books. It's rife for
there's a lot of stuff to explore.
I just said rife.
So,
wow.
And by the way, did you guys? No, I heard today that they were remaking The Birds.
See,
TikTok. Wait, and Michael Bay is the one that's doing it.
What?
There's going to be some big-ass birds.
Yeah, there's going to be some big-ass birds just exploding on people's windshields.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly. Who's this Tippi Hedren?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Don, do you have some...
I've got a couple obscure TV shows. I'd love to see The Wizard remade. Do any of you remember The Wizard?
Yeah, with the strange writing beasts.
No, it's not Wizards. Kids. It was like the kid hacker, right?
No. Okay, The Wizard was about a midget toy maker who went out and, he fought crime one week. Sometimes he was, a spy for the United States government.
Played by the guy who was in oh, God.
He's a kid blanking, right?
No.
He's played by that guy who was in... Willow.
Time Bandits?
Yeah. No, Willow.
Sorry.
And
the only
assisted
small
by his
actor.
Housekeeper went off and fought crime and with toy gadgets. He was like a midget toy maker James Bond.
Interesting.
It was fun. It was interesting. It was different.
The guy, the dwarf from, he was an elf, and he was also in another really great film. But he would be great to play that role. Do you know?
I don't know who you're talking
Station
about.
Station Agent.
Station Agent. Yeah, the guy from Station Agent.
Oh, you mean the guy who looks like you if you were a little person?
Yeah, this guy. I gotta tell you, is
he totally looks exactly like Peter if Peter was a little person.
You know how putting a midget in a film is like the kiss of bad acting in most things. You know, like
depends.
9 times out of 10, if they
like Bad Santa rocked. Carnival, I loved
that. Well, I hate it when it's gratuitous.
No. The guy in Carnival looks great, but he's an awful actor.
I actually like him.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it recently, but when he started off, he was really bad.
Okay.
But this guy is like an Oscar-winning type of actor. He's so good.
Station Agent is fantastic.
Okay. You should see it.
Yeah. All right, so something to check out.
I'm sure he'd want to dress up as a toy maker and fight crime.
another oldie, Manimal.
Do you remember
Manimal? Oh, come on.
What was that? I remember this. I don't remember.
In the old version, the guy could, transform into different animals, and he used it to fight crime.
How about Manimal versus Wonder Woman?
That's what they
did
in the 70s and 80s. They fought crime.
What about that superhero who was made of electricity when he turned the corner in his electrical
car? Automan.
He made right-hand turns, and his sidekick, who was human, would just hit the side of the window?
Automan. Starring Desi Arnaz Jr. Thank you very much.
Damn. Do not remake that.
Hollywood, do not remake that.
Here's a really obscure one for some of you out there in TV land. Wizards and Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
They made this when I was in kindergarten or something. It starred Julia Duffy from the Newhart Show and the guy who played Zach from Babylon 5, and he was the pretty actor boy on Taxi.
Oh, yeah. He was Kinnicky in Greece.
Yeah. And it's basically 50% sword and sorcery show and 50% sitcom, right? And it's so hard to explain.
Oh, you elves.
No, I distinctly remember, the evil wizard wants to destroy the kingdom, right? So he creates a weather vane bomb that he needs to have someone smuggle into the palace. So he creates a beautiful man to present it to the princess, played by Julia Duffy. And I distinctly remember her opening the box, and she's, staring at the guy because he's so pretty. She opens the box, she pulls out a weather vane, and while looking at him goes, "Oh, a weather vane, so pretty. Why is it ticking? Oh, who cares? Put it on top of the castle." And that was the intro to the episode, right? And it was so cheesy and so much fun. Well, keep in mind, we're talking about modernizing and updating these things.
Okay.
Right?
So, make it good?
So, yeah. So, I'm saying don't make Manimal again.
Oh, my list suddenly grew then.
I'm not saying make Manimal again. Don't give me more episodes of Manimal.
This is great.
Take the cool idea.
Okay,
and take it a step
farther. I have one that's like that.
Okay. We just remove the suck out of it.
Yeah.
And make it good.
Yeah, to suck
the
suck.
And I say, and keep in mind, these are 70s and 80s shows, so you got to suck some of the happy-go-lucky shit and make it a little more...
So
urban, dark, yeah. Gritty.
If you suck the suck out of that, what's left?
You know what's left?
A
you
Manimal.
Get a little bit of Xena. You know?
Okay.
Xena is campy, but it's the same genre.
Okay.
It's sword and sorcery. It's sitcom.
Okay.
You know? And so that was an incredibly successful series.
I'm getting it.
God knows why.
The one other one, spin out before I forget it, Lady Hawk. Because I like the movie, but now I'm afraid to watch it because everyone tells me how dated it is.
No,
the movie is great. Just turn down the soundtrack every time.
All you have to do is just lay it. You take those tracks, go find a composer, lay a new music bed down, re-release it. Ching.
Lady Hawk would do so well with that.
If they could do that, that would probably
Brilliant.
And that would change that movie dramatically.
I don't know. We talked about this one episode of Legend, right? We watched the director's cut, and they scrapped Tangerine Dream soundtrack.
Bad.
No, but I'm telling you, you could put...
It's the difference between night and day with Lady Dog. Yeah. Okay. Pardon the pun.
Okay.
You could put old Zelda MIDI music behind it, and it would sound better.
I didn't mean to do it.
All right, well... Going with the, I'd like to see this remade, but have it change a lot.
Yeah.
The $6 Million Man.
Mm. Now, but didn't they do that? They did that in the 90s with the $1 Billion Man or something like that. It was one show. It was a pilot. They went for it, and he was like son of Lindsay Wagner.
That sounds horrible. I think it was really ahead of its time about integrating man and machine and... And I think the whole...
It is being remade.
It is?
It's either that or the... No, it's that one, I think. $6 Million Man is being remade with Jim Carrey.
Oh, no.
And the concept is, I think, that they accidentally put all the machinery into the wrong person.
And done.
See what happened, and they're going to call the $6 Million Man, right?
Just imagine. Can
I tell you that or the Bionic
Jim
Man,
Carrey,
but I think it's $6 Million
Man. This is what happens. Now it's locked because they're going to come up with that crap-ass movie, and now no one can write a legit script because they say, didn't the $6 Million Man just come out with Jim Carrey?
That sucks.
They should call it the $25 Million Cha-Ching for Jim Carrey.
Yeah. I think he gets more than that.
Probably.
I would like to see some classic movies remade.
Okay.
I really liked Fantastic Voyage. The guys who get shrunk down and go into the human body. And I think with the new special effects and just kind of an updated science
and
the whole thing.
They did it. Inner Space.
Yeah. And that was cool.
That was cool.
But I want it to be more like Apollo 13 in your body.
Yeah, that could be really funky. That could be really, really funky.
Okay.
Plus, since what happened was Isaac Asimov wrote the screenplay, mm-hmm. and then it was turned in, then he turned it into a full-length book. Oh. And, you know, it was not a book pre-existing. I read the Asimov biography, and you talked about that in it.
Well, mm-hmm. another one, and these are getting older, and I know a lot of these movies just came out, but I don't think they hit the mark. But I'd really like to see a remake of When Worlds Collide, about the destruction of the Earth. Oh, it's great. But it doesn't quite face the big choices. Earth is going to be destroyed. There's a new planet that they can get to, but they only can fit 100 people on the planet on a rocket ship to get there. So they have to choose the 100 people.
That's crazy.
Now, the show that came out in the early 60s doesn't really get into the moral aspects of what that could mean. But that would be a great mind bender of who you really were going to put on this thing.
Wow.
The show's got a whole bunch of blonde hair, blue eye, white guys all piling on this, spaceship.
Oh, we're getting the Aryans. How nice.
Right. And, they kind of touched on it. Like they said, we don't want anybody over a certain age because we need to repopulate and we need people who can birth.
Hi,
and
Grandma.
Have families. Yeah. So they had all these,
they did have a deep
guidelines.
Impact.
What's that?
They did that with Deep Impact.
Only kind of. It was very, I think this could have been a really serious, movie, and they really could have touched on some really great issues. But anyway, you're right. There were those Earth destruction things did happen. I was just a little disappointed.
Okay.
No, I dig.
Another one, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Klaatu Virata Nikto.
Yeah. I really like the idea of this guy coming down to give us a warning, but experiencing Earth in a day. I think that could be remade and done very well. It probably would lose a lot of money, though.
Cool. I got about 3 or 4 more.
Logan's Run.
Logan's Run.
Oh, come on.
I really like Logan's Run.
Yeah.
And
I dug it.
Yeah.
And, I like it.
And here's a television show.
They might be remaking that one, too.
Well, who?
I think they actually are remaking Logan's Run. I seem to have heard something in the rumor mill as well.
Oh, great. With what comic?
Yeah, exactly.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah. Right. As Logan.
The last one for me, actually, I think it was only on for a season on UPN when it first started, so it's actually not very old.
Homeboys in Outer Space?
No, you keep bringing that up. Was that ever a show?
Yes. Damon Wayans.
Oh.
Marlon Wayans, not Damon Wayans.
This one's called Nowhere Man. And it was a big conspiracy, like, it was a great show. It was on UPN. It's about this photographer.
How to play that on the guitar.
It's about this photographer who took this photo of, like, a political photo of hanging down in, like, South America somewhere. And it disappears.
Right.
During an art show of his where he shows it publicly. His wife gets replaced, his family gets replaced, and he's on the run, but he doesn't know why, and the picture disappears. But he doesn't know why his photograph was that important. And so through the show, he has to figure out who's after him, why they're after him, what's up with this photograph, because they're not killing him because they want the negative, because it's that important. And it got weirder and weirder and weirder. And then the show got canceled before a big major event happened. And it stopped. I was really into it. Yeah. I love conspiracy.
Wasn't that last one where, like, because he had gone down to Cuba or something like that to take the original shot. And the last episode, the big climax of the first season was they said, no, you never, this wasn't even in Cuba. This photograph that you took was not taken in Cuba. And he was like, no, I was there. And they're like, no, you weren't.
Yeah, and then they take him to the spot outside of Washington, D.C., and there's the props and everything, mm-hmm. and the exact location with the Capitol building in the background.
Interesting.
And he's like, wait a minute.
Well, yeah, what's going on?
Because I was there. And he said, you think you were there.
The guy's constantly losing
his
mind.
And then it ended right when he was about ready to learn, like, that maybe he's been brainwashed.
I hate that.
Ugh.
Hey, anyway, I'm in a constant
Twin Peaks ended at a point like that. Yeah. I was bitter about that.
I'm in a coitus interruptus over
so that's my
series.
Those are my picks.
Okay, so I got a few more. I think it's time again for a new Knight Rider / Street Hawk / Airwolf. Any sort of
Airwolf? Fine. Talking cars and planes don't work.
I gotta agree with Aaron. I have serious issues with this.
I love
Airwolf is cool
if
though.
There's a good twist to it. Yeah. I'd be willing to.
Well,
give
Street
it a
Hawk
shot.
Was a really cool bike and everything like that. I could fire missiles and stuff like that. But what I really want is a new like maybe like a jet ski that's got
what's got a smart aleck jet ski gets into hijinks.
Baywatch Rider.
But I think it's about time.
Starring Pamela Anderson.
As a series, and Aaron may call this sacrilege, but I think a fantastic series would be Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Otherwise,
the series?
Otherwise known as Blade Runner.
Yeah, I'll buy into that.
Yeah, because I think Blade Runner, hunting down androids and finding out, you know, and the morality calls on whether or not to do it each week and figuring stuff out, I think that would be a fantastic, fantastic series if they held the sort of dark, cyberpunkish aspect of it.
Yeah, androids fighting for their lives, and you have some sympathy for the androids as well, and some of them are crazy, some of them aren't.
Some of them
are
great. I think it could be a great series.
No, I could see that.
I can
you
see
follow
it.
A hunter.
I can see it.
You're just worried about it.
I'm just worried about all the bad episodes.
It'd be like Highlander in reverse.
Yeah.
It'd be like Highlander in reverse. Mm-hmm. You're following the Highlander tracking down all the immortals that he must kill.
Yep.
Yeah, you know? I know, but Highlander was kind of a fun comic booky thing, and you know, when they had some bad episodes, you said, "Oh, this is just fun."
Well, actually, Highlander
Blade Runner's real.
Highlander had already had the sequel before the TV show came out.
Yeah,
the sequel had been so awful.
Oh, God.
That you didn't feel like the TV show could do anything that bad.
Sorry,
I mean, it couldn't piss all over the show.
Yep.
You know, it already been done.
Mm. Yep.
Well, the
just
last
don't
thing.
Don't take that one. That's the last one I have. Don't make a show out of it.
The other one was this cartoon. It was on for one season. It was called Galaxy Rangers, from what I remember. And it was. Stop it.
Homeboys from outer space?
No. And from what I remember of it, each of these different Galaxy Rangers, it was sort of a space western. And it was very cool because each of them had an individual power. And this one guy was very Clint Eastwood-esque. And his power was resultant of whatever happened to him. So if somebody shot him with something, he would become immune to that.
Was that a cartoon?
It was a cartoon.
I remember that.
It was really great. The main guy had a power arm that could fire something.
Thundar. Yeah. That's what they needed.
Thundar the Barbarian would be a great live-action movie.
I got a taste of a remake of Battle of the Planets with Gatchaman, but they didn't transfer all of the episodes. So... I don't feel like that's sufficient enough.
What do you mean,
remake.
G-Force?
G-Force.
I love G-Force as G-Force.
All right, kids.
Don's going to sex it up now.
Now I can't do it.
Come on.
I can't be sexy,
sexy
when
for
I
his
try.
Voice. Too sexy for his voice.
Okay, maybe if I've been smoking
come on,
a couple
come on,
years.
Bring it in.
All right, boys. Now's the time we start talking about a very special subject close to all of our hearts, or perhaps a little lower. We're going to be talking about the top five women of sci-fi. Actually, we're going to be talking about two top five women of sci-fi. We're going to be talking about the top five human-looking women of sci-fi and the top five alien women of sci-fi.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Wait.
No, it's not.
The aliens have to look alien?
No. It's top five humans or top five aliens.
Yes.
Okay. But they can look
or top
human,
five,
right?
Top five of both.
Yeah, but I mean, if the alien looks
they
human,
would
what's
not
the
look,
point of categorizing
they would not look
human?
Hot if they're a big slug.
Yeah.
So they've got to be
like the Horta.
They've got to be humaniform
hot
at some
Horta
point.
Action.
Yeah.
Like
right.
The female Jabba's probably not making it on the list.
Yeah.
You know?
Start.
Okay. Well, let's see. My top five human-looking women. My number five is a tie because I couldn't make up my mind. Between Princess Leia from Return of the Jedi and Princess Aura from Flash Gordon.
Are you out of your mind?
Absolutely.
Princess Aura is like on the top of any list, let alone sci-fi
list. I love my Princess Aura, but I've got other women who have gone past her.
Princess Leia was a flabby, pasty...
Yeah. No.
I gotta say,
I thought long and hard about this. Princess Leia...
I don't want to hear
launched
that.
Princess Leia had episodes dedicated to her on Friends. Princess Leia had episodes dedicated... I mean, the hairstyle became a statement for a generation.
That doesn't make this her hot.
Yeah.
She sold it.
Sexual fantasy. No. The whole Friends episode was about the sexual fantasy
of Leia.
Leia in the slave outfit.
Dead true.
That was just some, like...
It influenced the generation.
Writer who
no,
was...
really kind of right, kind of was.
You guys are all weird.
I'm sorry, but... You know,
okay, let's go 555.
Five,
let's go
you?
Around the room.
555, 444,
333, 222, 111. Okay, so I didn't put them in order.
No, well, just pick your lowest.
Pick your lowest.
Well, then I'm going to put Emma Peel from The Avengers.
Oh,
very nice.
Good,
that little tight little thing that she wore back in the day.
Absolutely,
I mean, I was
the
young,
first of
but,
the PVC women.
Whew. Phew. All right, that's
bam.
My five.
Peter.
I'm going to pick Louise Jameson as Leela in Doctor Who. She's the cave girl.
Yeah. Oh, God. She was hot.
Damn.
I always remember the doctors by their assistants almost because, those were great episodes.
Straight out, my fifth, Linda Carter. Just got to go straight out.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
She's in my fifth, or she's in my fourth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Linda Carter.
Woof.
Donnie.
I'm actually bumping my fourth choice because I know somebody else picked her.
Okay.
And I am subbing in one of my alternates. All right. We're going back into silent moviedom now. I am nominating Maria / the robot from Metropolis. Probably
now,
a woman from far before her time.
That's your human?
Because she looked human.
Because she did look human.
Okay, I'm like...
No crazy elf ears, nothing like that.
Just flying all over the world.
I kind of don't buy this whole, you know... If they're either alien or they're robot.
Okay, well, when we get to alien, you'll figure it out.
I want to see how an alien you think's hot. Is hot.
Yeah.
Like what
okay.
has to? How many?
Keep going.
Less boobs.
He has.
Do you need?
He has Greedo's wife as one of his.
Absolutely.
Her,
she's like number two.
I'm going to put. I was gonna Linda Carter's fourth, so I'm gonna now put Erin Gray, Wilma Deering from Buck Rogers.
Oh my God!
I think it's the bodysuits. I'm
absolutely.
Totally digging bodysuits, aren't I?
That was my original
with the
number
gun.
Pick, by the
it's
way.
The cat suit and the gun.
The gun thing that hung off the hip there. Jeez.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the armband.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Peter.
I got Jennifer Garner from Alias.
Damn.
Okay.
You stole my.
That's a good number four.
Yeah. Not okay. from Daredevil.
I have to shift now because I was also with Jennifer Garner.
Yeah,
but
we want to see what order you put it in.
It was Jennifer Garner in fourth.
As fourth?
Fourth.
See, we got a consensus here.
Okay.
Consensus
there you go.
On Jen Garner.
Excellent.
With the dimple.
Damn, the dimple.
She's so cute.
Moving on to number three. I have Xena as Lucy Lawless.
Never,
or rather,
never
Lucy Lawless as Xena.
She looks hotter now.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what? There's something about all that leather, about a... She got some pretty muscular at some points there, and I thought that was pretty
Don wants her to break him over.
Black hair, blue eyes, great combination on anyone. I don't give a damn.
All right. I'm going to pick, I think her name is like Victoria Pratt from Cleopatra 25.
In the year 2525, there are women with a will to survive.
It's a horrible show.
Whoa, you know the theme?
How can you forget that damn theme?
Well, first of all,
Don knows the theme.
Have you heard the lyrics?
It's not that. That is a stolen song. It's actually a real song.
Oh God!
In
really?
The year 2525. Yeah, it's like an old 60s song.
I had no idea.
I guess you're too geeky, aren't you?
Yes,
yeah. He only knows it.
It's a terrible show, but...
Which one was she?
She was the hot blonde. No, not the,
what
not
does that
the
mean?
Dumb blonde, but the
okay.
hot blonde.
I know which one you mean. Kind of okay. butch blonde.
Okay. Well, she was tough.
She was the butch blonde.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Peter?
She's all right. Man.
All right. I'm going to say Jennifer Connelly in Labyrinth.
That's pretty good. I wouldn't say in Labyrinth. I thought she was a little too...
She's a little young there.
12.
She's a little young there.
But a little too pedophile for me.
She's too young there, but seeing what she's become...
Well, yeah, now as a 33-year-old woman who's fully matured and in charge of her
have
sexuality...
To go, I'd have to alter that and go with Jennifer Connelly in Dark City.
Oh, I say, I'll buy that. I say Drew Barrymore in E.T.
You know, I honestly...
She ripened nicely.
I gotta say, I was sitting here kind of wondering, because I can't remember her that well from Labyrinth. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually, like...
She was...
I saw her in person like a year or two ago.
Oh, really?
She's very cute.
Yeah. I remember Career Opportunities came out, which was the first movie she really did as an adult after Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, the chick from Labyrinth got boobs. That was my natural reaction.
What's yours?
Okay, third slot. I'm going to have to go a little un-PC for the group here and go with Aaron's sister.
How dare you?
Oh, my God.
Christina How Hendrick. Dare you? Third on your sci-fi list?
Third on my sci-fi. She's beautiful.
I'm editing that out.
Okay.
That's gone.
I'm sort of stunned. All right, number two for me. Rachel from Blade Runner, also known as Sean Young.
Oh, Sean Young just whines in
my
ears.
Yeah, but, you know, block out the actress, just think of the character, you know?
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to probably pick the next person on my list would be... Actually, I'm now out one. Number two for me is Honey Rider. She's the chick from Dr. No who comes out of the ocean with the bathing suit and a knife on her belt.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Okay, no, yeah, I remember.
Wow.
That's a great bathing suit on her.
Wow.
Girl, you were wearing that. That's all.
It wasn't wearing you, girlfriends. I mean, damn.
Okay. So number two, I have to say, is Mila Jovovich as Lilu in The Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That outfit she was wearing.
Can't argue with that
outfit.
Yeah, exactly. She was sort of wearing.
She was sort of wearing
duct tape in that whole thing. Numero dos. I'm gonna have to go. Oh well, she's kind of an alien. Oh.
No. All right, skip it. I'm on one next.
So I'll have to go with Claudia Black from Farscape. She's Officer Aaron Sung. It's more her personality.
She's a handsome woman.
I find her immensely attractive,
yeah.
Really sexy, because of more for her attitude than anything else.
Okay. My number one, and this should be no surprise to those of you who've been listening, number six, Trisha Helfer from Battlestar Galactica. This is the blonde woman in the red dress.
Wow.
No surprise there.
She needs to... That red dress does not work for her.
You are so wrong.
It does not work
for her. You like women?
So wrong.
Yeah. Give me I know I like came off as really, really like kind of the hairdresser in this episode, but I mean seriously.
Yeah,
all right, I'm fine. Okay,
B. Arthur in Golden Girls.
My number one is Angelina Jolie because
you stole my number one.
She's Angelina.
It's
Jolie.
Angelina Jolie. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
in
Tomb
what?
Raider.
Tomb Raider. Okay.
Tomb Raider.
But you know.
Damn.
I mean,
yeah, she's
girls go lesbian for her.
Angelina,
so,
yeah,
know,
exactly. Anyway. It's Angelina Jolie.
I just have a hard time seeing past her lips sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, that's just fine with me.
Big lips don't do it for me.
Okay, I can't decide. I'm stuck between...
We'll help.
Jessica Alba and...
no,
Angel.
Dear Lord God, no.
All right, well, I just saw her in Sin City and... You know,
yeah, so she can dance.
You know. Yeah, she can't. I don't get it either.
Jane Fonda's Barbarella.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jane Fonda's Barbarella.
That cannot be ignored.
That was
bloody awesome. I'll have to say, and it's specifically in a specific movie, I have to say Cameron Diaz in the original Mask.
Mask. The first time I ever saw her was in that.
First time I ever saw Cameron Diaz.
My.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, they did this long pull-up shot on her.
I don't know what, after that?
After that, not so much.
Never,
not
never so much. Has.
But that, her body does not look the same.
No.
No.
She looked, I mean,
I gotta say, though, whenever she smiles, like, to beat a cliche to death, I think she lights up the screen.
Yeah,
you know what?
She works.
She's good. She's a good actress.
I have a huge crush on her. I have a huge crush.
Did I ever tell you that I was briefly engaged
Cameron, if you're listening.
No, you didn't.
I was briefly engaged to her. It's true.
Oh, that's right, when you work on Charlie's Angels.
I was working on Charlie's Angels, and she's walking through the set, and it's on this Mongolian bar scene where she's wearing this ridiculous Swedish outfit.
And Don is one of the Mongolian horde, the biggest of them, and they linger on him.
The baubles on her boots are just bouncing all over the place, right? And one of
the baubles on her boots
as she's walking by, right? So she walks off the set. I reach down. I grab up that bauble. I body check a PA out of the way, and I run off the set after her. I hold it above my head, and I call out, "I will marry the woman who matches this pom-pom." She turns around. She laughs. She comes over. We talk for a sec. She takes it back, right? About 15 minutes later, they're setting up the shot again. I'm in the corner waiting, right? And she's walking across the set, and she notices me in the corner, right? And she suddenly just turns on this smile, right? And she starts walking across the set. She's doing the slow Cameron Diaz, Charlie's Angels walk, right? And everybody on the set is looking at me and looking at her and looking at me like, I hate you and I don't know why. She walks up to me and she gives me that big old Cameron Diaz smile, which is every bit as perfect in real life as it is on film, and says, "The pom-pom matched." At which point I looked her square in the eye and I said, "Oh, and she ran, you know? So...
Good job, Don.
Yeah.
You were smooth, and then...
I panicked.
Panicked.
Completely dropped the pom-pom.
So we are now done with humans.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
All right, let's whip through the aliens,
yes,
shall we?
Yes, let's whip through them.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know
number five.
I don't know the names of a lot of these chicks, so you're going to have to help me out, Donnie.
Okay, we'll work it out. We'll work it out. My number five, I went with Mina Harker from The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Ooh, not bad.
Because we got some serious vampire action there, and she don't look human when she goes vampire.
Yep.
But she's still pretty hot.
I have a vampire in my fifth position. That's a weird thing to say.
I can't remember. I don't know who. Oh, that species girl.
Nastasha Henstridge.
I just have a hard... The movie's
She's so beautiful.
Horrible, but she's pretty hot.
She was hot. That's another first movie hotness, where, like, the first movie, she's beautiful, and then after that, it was like...
What else did she do?
She did a lot of species. She did VIP. Not VIP. She did She Spies and stuff like that.
Species.
Okay. Yeah.
I just thought of an extra one that I have to put in as an honorable mention.
Mm.
What's that movie where Schwarzenegger goes to Mars?
Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Yeah, but the third
wife?
Woman.
The three boob chick in Total Recall.
Absolutely. She was nearly on my list.
In Total Recall.
Right. But my real number five that I had until I thought of that one was T-Pol in Star Trek. Jolene Blaylock.
Okay.
What? She's Enterprise. That far down?
Well, I haven't really seen her that much.
Okay. He's gonna have a pinnacle. I don't know.
All right.
I was gonna say the slimy Borg chick in the Star Trek movie.
Oh,
do you remember
the queen?
Right.
The queen of the Borg.
What is her name?
I don't know.
That's well, there's I'm a couple of them. There's one in the movies, and then they replaced her in the show that with the kind of a woman who looked like her.
She's a major actress.
Yeah, she is, and she's just divine in that because she really sells her sensuality. It's about attitude for me at this point.
Hmm.
Okay. So the Horda is up there with you?
Yeah, no.
All right, we're going in a subtle difference here. We're going Arwen, my number four. Liv Tyler from Lord of the Rings.
Excellent.
I'm going to put the green Orion girl from the old Star Trek.
Good choice.
The original
Very nice
series.
Choice.
Now, we just had another Orion.
Last night?
It wasn't. Oh, I didn't see it last night. Oh, it was like a couple nights ago. The ones that tempt the crew. That one?
No, I didn't see that.
Well, the one who didn't say anything the entire episode was pretty hot.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Peter?
I have the blue chick from Farscape.
Zan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I have Kate Beckinsale in...
Underworld.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
In a Trinity sort of way.
Kate Beckinsale, damn! Yeah.
Moving on to number three. I have Zahn from Farscape on my number three.
Okay.
Something about the blue women.
Consensus.
You know?
Yeah. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Another blue woman on my list.
That white woman showed up, and I was like, you're just not blue.
Oh, no. That she's, we'll get to me.
Okay.
I'm going to pick Blood Rain from the video game.
Interesting choice.
And I'll even be more specific. The E3 model, who ended up actually doing a lot of promo stuff, she looked exactly like the video game.
She did.
I mean, she was great, she totally filled the costume. She is not playing Blood Rain in the movie.
It's Terminator Chick,
which is a big drag, in my opinion.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
Yeah. Anyway, that's mine.
Yeah.
She's hot, but she couldn't act.
Well, and the girl from Terminator 3 can?
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Let's do 3.
I'd rather put the E3 model in there.
Yeah.
Her in the movie.
I would go with that. I was just saying the girl from Terminator 3 is hot. But
does anybody know the E3 model?
No.
Let's try to get her work.
We can find her name.
Okay.
Along with Aaron's signatures. Number three.
Mm-hmm.
I have Mystique from X-Men.
Rebecca Romijn's Stamos.
I gotta tell you,
Rebecca Romijn now.
You mean Rebecca Romijn, or do you actually mean the comic book character?
I mean Rebecca Romijn and the comic book character, because frankly, I mean,
what's
Mystique?
Blue Chicks
really should be my number one, because she can be anybody.
Yeah,
that's true.
She's so fucking hot.
But she could conceivably turn into like Chaney halfway through. You never know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she has a kind of sense of humor.
I gotta tell you. Yeah, she could just like.
I would risk it.
Oh boy, not me. I don't know. Chaney in the
right, yeah, but you have that unhealthy fixation on Chaney.
I like the chick who's pasty white in Farscape, Gigi Edgley.
Okay.
Yeah, she's
the corpse girl.
She's not a corpse. She's a different race.
Okay. Moving on to two. No corpses on my list. I'm actually bumping.
You're a vampire is your start.
I'm bumping Jolene Blaylock up to number two for me with T'Pol from Enterprise. It's her lips.
Okay.
I will overlook. You know.
Okay. Yeah. I was tough on one and two. I'm actually gonna put Princess Aura from Flash Gordon at number two. But it was a tight one. I mean, it was a close race.
Yeah, she is an alien.
Fine lady. And
she
had a great costume.
Oh, she got all the good costumes in that movie. All
right.
My number two is Natasha Henstridge as Syl in Species.
Okay.
Another one of those ones that you might risk.
Okay. Alien Natalie Portman as Amidala.
Really?
Yeah.
She was pretty freaking alien in the first one.
She was pretty freaking alien in the first one, and then in that black dress in the second one, which was just gratuitous, let me tell you, damn.
I don't know. It's really weird.
I don't think of her as alien.
Yeah, she's human.
Well,
man.
I also don't think of her on the list. That's really weird.
She's an alien. She's from Naboo.
Well,
if somebody showed up on our planet and said, you're from Naboo.
The chick from Pirates of the Caribbean, to me, beats her out.
Yeah.
They're the same human being.
But I got to tell you that Natalie Portman, I have a huge thing for. She is so
along with Cameron Diaz. Hot.
She's got a few
things for a
he
lot of people.
He liked her from The Professional.
Exactly.
Because I know what she's going to grow up to look like.
No, I remember what she looked like in The Professional.
Have you seen Closer?
No.
Watch Closer.
All right, John.
All right, the number one. Dun, 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 dun. And unfortunately, I'm rehashing somebody else's lower number. Mystique is hands down the number one for me.
Really?
Absolutely.
I understand that.
The grace, poise, and hotness out of the slinky blue woman as she slides across the floor in X-Men 2 cannot be ignored.
Well, mine is also a repeat. Jolene Blaylock?
Yeah.
T'Pol.
But not only that, but mirror, mirror, T'Pol.
Damn.
What is this?
The last two episodes takes place in the mirror universe. You know,
where they're all evil.
The Vulcan goatee universe.
Yeah.
She's like evil T'Pol.
Yeah.
And she's got the low rider jeans that I swear to God, about an inch away from her toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
Wow.
Midriff costume, yeah.
I need to be seeing that.
I've got it on TiVo.
My number one is Trisha Helfer as the blonde Cylon from Battlestar Galactica.
Number one?
I gotta tell you.
I haven't seen this episode.
Yeah, there's a specific episode that makes this happen.
Well,
and if you've seen the episode, you understand. You know, if you haven't seen the episode,
I'm watching them in order again, and I haven't hit any episode.
You'll know...
Is there a word or two words that might remind me that won't blow it?
It's
are you talking table or stairs?
I'm talking table.
You're talking table? For me, it was stairs.
Was it? I haven't seen the stairs one.
The show opens.
I'm sorry?
Is he on Earth on the table thing?
No, he's not on Earth.
Okay.
It's the doctor, mm-hmm. and the show opens with a scene with the doctor in his office, and Starbuck walks in on him.
Okay.
You haven't seen that yet?
No.
Okay, you'll understand.
Okay. That's we all went through our number one.
Well, mine's to Paul.
To Paul.
So I'm just, yeah.
So 7 of 9 didn't get any love.
No.
Didn't do it for me.
Does not do it for
me
at all.
TFA's out. All right.
Yeah. TFA, yeah. Do you know she sued her husband because he kept on trying to bring her to threesome sex parties?
Yes. He's a representative.
Yeah.
He's a U.S. representative. I don't think she...
Yeah, she took him to court.
They were getting divorced. I know that, yeah, it was like some divorce thing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It came out... She was suing him for money because of the settlement, and it came out that he was really into, like, sex parties and stuff. Yeah. So.
Which means that there's something... Never mind. I'm trying to get into her psyche.
Hmm. All right, well...
yeah, her psyche is what you're trying to get into.
You have superhero stuff, right?
Let's wrap the show up. We want to talk to Hugh, our friend Hugh.
Yep.
And we want to do viewer mail.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll do Hugh first.
Okay.
All right.
So, several... weeks ago,
yeah.
We were talking about role-playing games.
We were. And Peter went off on his Shadowrun jag.
Right.
And Aaron, Don, and I, Matt, we went in and bagged on our buddy Scott, who was our GM, for the worst Shadowrun game ever.
It was just super...
Oh, don't waffle
no,
now.
I'm just saying, no, yeah, it was bad, but it was really long. Here, what we'll do is we'll play the piece for you from a couple of episodes ago.
And then we got to get Scott on the line because he called up.
Yeah, he's a listener. He would like to quickly defend himself on this, which is totally legit.
A rebuttal.
And a rebuttal.
He deserves it.
So anyway, here's the episode we took it from.
I'll look at it, but I mean, have you created a character in Shadowrun before?
Yeah, I've played Shadowrun a few times.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
One of the problems they had with Shadowrun, I mean, I remember...
Combat. Impossible.
Yeah, well, there was combat.
Now that game was completely played wrong. That we played that took
one?
Like 18 hours.
The Shadowrun one?
Yeah. It took 8 hours to rob the convenience store.
Oh, it was in.
It took you 18 hours to get from the cookie aisle over to
what, was
the
that
toilet
Scott?
Paper.
Was that Scott who did that? Yeah, Scott, if you're listening.
We're sorry, Scott. That was a bad game,
that was
man.
A bad game. Okay, so we have Scott here on the line, all Skyping right. in. Scott,
hey there.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Hey, Scotty.
All right, Matt, you can take this.
All right, yeah, okay. Well, I got the phone message on my phone.
Yeah, I only left one, not three.
So why did it take us 8 hours to enter a convenience store and for me to walk down
the island and then shoot the ogre?
Well, first off, let's get the time frame straight. We only played for about 4 hours. It wasn't 8. Because there's no way any of us can ever get the time together to sit for 8 hours at a long stretch of time.
Okay, so it was a 4-hour convenience store robbery.
I mean, I admit, it felt like a long game. I won't deny that. It was horrible. It was a nightmare because it was also the first time I ever GM'd a game. And I know I don't have the vast experience that you, Matt, have, or you all have, but I tried, and you got shit all over
me. Don's turned some of my games into a Dante Inferno, so...
I like to roast my game masters very slowly.
No, and I understand, and I love you guys. You're great game masters, but, you know, it was my first foray into it, and no one gave me any assistance whatsoever. Y'all basically
foray or 4 hours?
Oh, this is a horrible system. I don't want to play it. And Matt constantly kept comparing it to Cyberpunk. He would never open his mind to allow the magic.
My bad.
He kept saying Cyberpunk was better, or let's play riffs.
Well, we did. While we were playing that game, we were playing another one, too.
Oh, that makes sense. No. That's why you guys weren't paying attention or helping me.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Maybe if we had to take attention.
I couldn't figure out if it was the game system or not, but I apparently made a character that could barely function.
Like, the problem was, if I remember, you made a... your character was a Decker, right?
I was like a stinky spy guy. Like a Tinker.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, because we were in a heavy combat thing. We were just trying to figure out the combat system. That's why Don's character was able to lay waste to almost everybody, but your character was having difficulty.
Oh, yeah, you were playing Uber.
That I wasn't that familiar with the game system. It is a very complicated system. It takes a long time to figure it out, because it's very different than any other we've played. It's not a D20 system. Okay. It's not based on D10.
I hear you.
Would you still hold up Shadowrun as the peak, the pinnacle?
I would never call it the pinnacle in any shape or form, but I've actually been playing it with a couple guys lately. I'm not GMing because obviously you saw what happens when I try that.
Okay, so let me just ask you one question before we let you go.
Okay.
What did you learn by game mastering for us?
First thing, never game master for Don or Matt, because nice. Frankly, you're getting back at me for all the times as a player that I question every single rule of yours. And I understand, it's okay. I need to see my rhythm.
You never do that, Scott.
No, it was revenge for all the times that Scott showed up in various states of disrepair in college.
Hey. It was college. Some of us had to have some fun, Matt. You know, you got the grades, I partied. Let's get it right.
Nice. Well, again, I want to bring up when we have a HeroClix discussion, which is probably going to come up here. I really would like to cover that because it's a crazy phenomenon. I definitely want to get you on because you're the expert that I know of on that subject.
Okay.
Well, I'll definitely love to talk to you about it. I have a few opinions about WizKids and what they did with it.
Oh, really? Okay, okay. Excellent. So and I know you have
a little controversy.
You sank some cash into that, I see, too. You have quite
far
a few
too
more.
Much, but it was an enjoyable time.
Excellent. All right, we'll catch you later then.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for coming on.
Be well, babe. Right.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Hugh.
So,
or Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Whatever your name
Whoever the hell you are.
All right, real quickly, let's do some viewer mail.
Viewer mail. I will blur through this as much as possible. This week was the issue of Contention, where there was a little battle back and forth between Peter and one of our viewers, because I was catching flack for Peter's crap.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because Peter brought up the issue of peer-to-peer stuff. And
piracy.
Piracy. Peer-to-peer piracy. And one of our viewers took that to task, and then Peter responded, and so Jason Robinson out there took a little. So it was pretty good. Jason, you wrote way too much for me to read on here, but thank you for your comments.
We should take those and post them on the forum.
Yeah, we should.
I got his permission to do that, so we're going to.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, because that's a great topic to get to launch on our forum.
There's some meat in there, folks. Go read it.
Okay. Yeah. So just in the sort of kudos category, we got one from DeMont Gum. Listen, it's Monty from Maine Woods. He says he listens via the podcast on his iPod. He has 155-mile round-trip commute each day, and our show is part of the reason it's more palatable these days. Also from Jeff, he was asking about an archive because he wanted to know the website of the publisher of that cartoon that reveals the real story behind D&D.
And that is?
It's the Chick Tracks. So just go and look up Chick Tracks in Google, and you should be able to find it.
How do you spell Chick Tracks?
I believe it's just Chick, C-H-I-C-K, Tracks, T-R-A-C-T-S.
Yeah.
So no problem. Yeah. Also from Ryan, he said, first of all, he really loved our podcast. He's listened to a lot of them. Ours is his favorite. He also wanted to hear more from Lisa. He was watching his last episode of Firefly on the DVD, and suddenly she came out doing DVD commentary because she edits for Firefly.
He recognized her voice.
And he recognized her voice.
That is so freaking impressive.
And he gushed about her. So I know Lisa listens to the show as well. So,
hi, Lisa.
Lisa, I think he's about 6'4". He likes long walks. He likes cuddling and dressing like Mario on the weekends.
So
I see a geek matchup.
Could be. So we also
psychotic.
That's great.
Alan also said we did a great show. He wondered whether or not we could use the soundless sound system could be used for deaf people.
This was a great. After he said that, that is a great idea. I'm sure you can't, otherwise it would have been a major announcement in that article. But
maybe.
But they were saying it goes straight into the brain.
Well, yeah, but I think they were saying
it sounds like it straightened your brain.
It sounds.
Okay. Yeah, it is
hypersonic, which means it's still sonic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Chris Hutchins said he's been listening to Geeks On for the past month. He loves the show. Great work. Chris kind of ranked on us a little bit.
He did?
Chris said when we were talking about philosophy and the geeks, what are geeks, stuff like that, he was losing interest, not having so much of it, wasn't so much into it, and thought we should keep to topical topics and like that.
Well, he thought more lighter topics.
Lighter topics, because he thinks that's what we do best.
He's
going
to hate some upcoming episodes, because I think we need to get into some more philosophy, yeah, and even science fiction philosophy about like time travel,
yeah,
cloning, and that type of stuff. So you are going to hate the snot out of this show.
Yeah. Still keep talking about sci-fi boobs.
Yeah. But what he said was the entire segment, particularly the discussion about religion, smacked of navel gazing, excuse me, not nasal gaving. And he said, you risk alienating listeners with segments such as Geeks on Religion, Geeks on Politics, or Geeks on Insert Touchy Subject Here. So we have been smacked.
Ooh, we should do Geeks Touchy Subjects. I don't know what that means.
See, you're asking for it, Chris. All right. And Asa, our regular commentator,
Asa,
has written back to basically agree with me sort of between the lines that he thinks that Aaron's sister is hot. So
my sister is going to kill me.
Yeah. I'm very surprised that Aaron's sister is Christina Hendricks. What a coincidence. I'm impressed by the connections that you guys have. And he lists and says we should go watch her as Saffron on.
We're going to have I think we should have a big fire before the movie comes out, a Firefly, yep, like,
yeah,
bonanza.
I've never seen the thing.
I've seen a couple episodes, but it was just in the worst time of my life to be watching this show, and I didn't have TiVo at the time, so you know how it is.
Okay.
What's that?
She's in the movie?
She's not in the movie, no.
Aww. And as a final one, a follow-up to Don's thing on player versus player World of Warcraft, it's saying that this new patch is absolutely hated. He's saying if you don't have a level 60 character, it has paralyzed a lot of the games. However, our podcast didn't mention that a Battlegrounds area will be coming out soon enough to basically solve a lot of the problems with the patch. So don't leave World of Warcraft yet.
Why didn't they release that before they come?
That's what he was saying, basically, is that they should not have released the player versus player system.
I'm concerned it may be too late. I know too many people who've left and canceled.
Are not running away.
By the way, the Matrix Online is out, and it sounds like it's a big...
It's a hit?
It's shitty...
It's surprising.
One of the least impacts I've ever heard of a video game release.
But here's a great concept, is they have actors in it.
Yeah.
What other video game has actors in it?
I play World of Warcraft.
The company has hired
but
actors.
But you don't, Matt. You don't.
Oh, well.
The company has hired actors that play the major parts in the game, and they play in there. And so you can actually meet the major players, and they role play in the game for you.
That's actually very cool.
Okay. There's actors. There's also garbage collectors in
I've heard the catch, though, is those characters are like super high level, and you really can't meet them until you've been playing the game for months and years.
Yeah, well,
and
welcome to MMORPG.
It'd be nice if they had some like little newbie actors that you could meet too.
Yeah. Like that guy who got fired from
exactly.
From
the office workers. All righty. Well, I think that's
another. You want to do links?
I think we are
like way over time.
Hour and 2 hours.
But I have such cool links.
Sit on them.
Oh.
All righty, everybody.
You guys are missing out.
Have a good geek week. E3 is coming up. Us geeks are getting
worn out. Be prepared. We're all going to go into a video game frenzy when that thing hits.
That is true. And we're going to try to get some inside information. Well, we probably won't, but we're going to
try
to
let us know what you want to find out from E3.
We'll
do our little investigative reporting thing and try and track down whatever you want to know.
Yep.
Go to geekson.com. We have a forums there that you can post what you want, or you can contact us at geeks@geekson.com.
We will be posting naughty pictures of Peter there.
That's right. I also am going to post. For my PlayStation Portable, I made built little GURPS character sheets that you can post on your PlayStation Portable, so you can keep your GURPS character sheets. It's like a 12-page document that you just download.
Oh, we can't do links, but we can do
character sheets. I'm going to post it on there for everybody to download. So all your GURPS.
Because we wouldn't be posting the links for people to look
at. All your handheld systems will belong to us.
I spent time on that. So anyway, I'll put that on there.
Because you didn't spend time finding these links.
Oh, please. How dare you? yeah, so I'll be sitting on there waiting for you.
GURPS slut.
Thanks for tuning in, kids.
Bye,
come back
everybody.
Next week.
If you want to give a
same geek time, same geek channel.
And if you want to reverse the vasectomy in your bush jog, just look it up on our,
never... on our website. Okay, everybody. Bye.
But
bye.
I still think if he took the mask off, he would die.
He would die.